The June 4, 2010 rain report will commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're connected with the rain report. I am Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Though this may be our third and final excerpt from the 2010 Dayton Hamvention FCC forum, it is by no means the least important. The forum moderator was FCC employee Bill Cross, W3TN. Cross had a lot to say about the FCC's recently adopted National Broadband Plan, also known as NBP.
The commission recently adopted what is called the NBP. If you look at the commission's website, it's front and center in the biggest type we could find that talks about the National Broadband Plan. This is the priority of the chairman. He had worked at the commission a number of years ago as the chief of staff for a former chairman. He's worked in the communications industry. He comes with a very good balance of knowing what the commission can do, knowing the commission staff, and knowing the realities of the communications industry from the business side. Congress and the White House both expressed support for the National Broadband Plan, although many of the details are still to be worked out. The National Broadband Plan calls for reallocating 500 megahertz of spectrum to mobile broadband over the next 10 years. You all are kind of seeing glimmers of what the National Broadband Plan is when you see these advertisements for internet over Blackberries and all this wireless stuff, surf the web with your mobile device and this kind of thing. All of these applications require bandwidth. There's no two ways about it. And it's not narrow segments of bandwidth. It's lots of bandwidth. There's a basic rule of engineering that comes down to, for any given amount of spectrum, you can only pass so much information through it. And if you want to pass more information, you need more spectrum. Well, what they have worked out now is that in order to provide a nationwide capability for this, they're looking for 500 megahertz over the next 10 years. 300 is being sought in the next 5 years, and that's the first target that they're working toward. The term reallocating means moving spectrum from one service to another service. As part of that process, an inventory of spectrum, both federal and non-federal, appears to be in the works. Bills mandating this inventory have been introduced in Congress. What is being looked for in particular is spectrum under 3 gigahertz and in large blocks. The plan is to auction it off, and it would be used for a commercial service, probably something similar to cellular service today, but at greater bandwidths. What they're looking for in this spectrum inventory is an idea of how efficiently used is the spectrum. Is it being used for its best purposes, and are there better purposes it could be used for? Now, there was an initial thought of, well, gee, we can get spectrum from the broadcasters. Broadcasters didn't really think that was a good idea. And they've kind of made it clear, spectrum's not coming from us. Now, the federal agencies, through NTIA, have been directed to take a look at their existing spectrum and see if it is being used as efficiently as possible, see if it's being used, and see if there is spectrum that the federal government has that it really doesn't need. Getting spectrum away from any group, including federal users, is no easy task. The federal system is a very involved system because so many different agencies have spectrum. They each have their own spectrum needs. Everyone thinks they're the only one and that their need is more important than everyone else. So you get a bunch of spectrum managers from federal agencies in the same room, and it can get to be quite interesting as to the horse trading and the carrying on that goes. And at the end of it, it's kind of amazing anyone's still alive, but somehow they seem to work it out. But it's like sausage. You don't want to see it being made. As I said, the broadcasters have said no to us. The federal agencies are starting to examine their spectrum. Congress is looking at it, and Congress may end up just passing a bill. Congress can do all kinds of things that says the federal government will give up so much, and it will be between these frequencies, and it will happen. It's not going to happen tomorrow, so that there's a lot between here and 300 megahertz in 5 years. Now, as far as the amateur service goes, you guys are not immune from this. Your bands below 225 megahertz do not appear to be of much interest for the National Broadband Plan because, for the most part, they're narrow bands. They're generally, if you think about it, 4 megahertz or less in bandwidth. You know, I mean, 2 meters is 4 megahertz wide. Your 222 to 225 is 3. We think of those as wide bands. Well, in the commercial world, they're not. The other thing that makes those bands not of interest for this kind of thing, or not really of a lot of interest, is the propagation is too long. When you're looking at commercial systems, there's one word that matters, and that is reliability. That's That's what the commercial world wants, reliability. Well, we love unreliability. That's what makes working DX fun. Someone comes and says, well, all that spectrum below 15 megahertz, and my response is, yeah, that's great. You're right. There's a lot of spectrum down there. Now, do you realize that during the 5 or 6 years of the sunspot cycle, when sunspots are high, that spectrum's not really useful. It's a lot of noise. You know, you've got problems here. Oh, well, we don't want that. Okay. Well, what about the spectrum from 15 to 30 megahertz? Oh, that's really good, too. There's another 15 megahertz of spectrum there. Now, when the sunspots are low, for the other half of the sunspot cycle, and if you don't believe it, go look at the propagation articles. Here you've got this band that closes up an hour before or after sunset and stays closed until after sunrise. You can't use it. Oh, we don't want that. But get rid of him. Well, what about that band at 50 to 54 megahertz?
Yeah.
That's 4 megahertz of spectrum. That's great. It's right next to channel 2. Forget that. So, in a way, you guys are doing fairly well in that you have spectrum that's either unreliable, unwanted, or narrow. And then there's this other complication that basically everything below 225 megahertz, you're primary. There's a lot of protection in primary status. When you get above 225 megahertz, with a couple of narrow exceptions, you're not primary. You're secondary. Secondary is like showing up and playing football on a baseball field. You can do it till the baseball team shows up. And when the baseball team shows up, you're gone. That's what secondary means.
You're listening to The RAIN Report, available as a free weekly download and podcast from therainreport.com. We'll conclude our final excerpt from the 2010 Dayton Hamvention FCC Forum in a moment. This is the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.
The bands where you have some real dangers here are 420 to 450 for another reason, which I'll talk about, and the bands above that. 902 to 928 doesn't seem to be of a lot of interest because there are so many consumer devices in there. Believe it or not, no one wants to share a band with a microwave oven. And you have other things in there like Wi-Fi and other communication services that are commercial services that are going, that they may be secondary, but they could raise an awful lot of noise if there was talk of reallocating that spectrum. So 902 to 928, you've got a 26 megacycle chunk in there. It doesn't look like it's really of interest to the National Broadband Plan. When we get higher in the spectrum, though, we're in trouble. The 9-centimeter band is 200 megahertz wide, and they're looking for 300. The 13-centimeter band, although it's split, there are two sections of this. This is around 1.2 gigs. It covers 150 megahertz. The 5-centimeter band is 275 megahertz wide. These bands are possibilities that could be of interest to the National Broadband Plan, especially if paired with other spectrum. The other thing that's also happening that really ought to, you know, just put the willies in you is commercial interests are looking for spectrum. We've heard a lot of rumblings and proposals to the commission and talking about the commercial sector, particularly the land mobile community. This is the Part 90 stuff. This is, you know, all your business radios. It's the emergency radio services, public safety, hospitals, all this stuff that's eligible for licensing in Part 90. They are looking for an additional 30 megahertz of spectrum. In the 420 to 450 megahertz band, your next door neighbor, 450 to 470, is already allocated to land mobile. The 30 megahertz right next door to that is kind of interest to them. It's not a pure band, because in 420 to 450, you have some government radar systems. There's one up on Cape Cod that's looking out over the Atlantic Ocean. There's the one at Beale Air Force Base looking out over the Pacific. There's something up in Clear, Alaska that they have. You can see where all of these are in the order that came out recently that was dealing with that recon robotics thing that the cops wanted, that thing you could throw into a building and it would cruise around with a camera and all this other stuff. That is allowed in there too, but in that order it lists where these exceptions are that they can't operate. So that kind of tells you the flip side of that is what else is there. Also in 902 to 928, there's an interesting piece of turf down in New Mexico that's the White Sands Missile Range that extends, you know, through a number of the states down there. There are signs along the road there, the, you know, great big information signs that say hams do not use 902 to 928. What they're really telling you is please please don't control our missiles for us. Somehow that could just ruin someone's day. You do have exceptions like that in there too that you also have to look at, and that's another reason 902 to 928 may not be so good. But 420 to 450 is your secondary there, and it's right next to the land mobile band. People have said, gee, what should we be doing about that? Should we be worried about it? And it's like, well, you've always kind of got to be worried about spectrum because spectrum is what drives everything. But also, you need to be vigilant about it and make sure you can make a case for why you should have the spectrum. And you also just kind of need generally to keep an idea of what's going on in this area. Now, there's a couple other matters I want to mention just briefly. One of them is RACES. You may not be aware of this, but RACES is managed by FEMA, not the FCC. We have the rules in RACES in Part 97 because it uses amateur stations. All FCC RACES station licenses have now expired. The service continues to exist, and it is used by some emergency management agencies in places or whatever purposes they have for it. In other places, hams seem to organize themselves under the ARES program, provide communications during times of emergencies. There are a lot of clubs with RACES in the name. If a club wants to call itself a RACES club, there's no rule against that. But the license we issue is a club station license. And the rules that apply to club stations are the same for all clubs. If you want to call yourself RACES, fine. You don't get any priority to a channel. The last topic I want to mention is the bill on the Hill that the ARRL had introduced. This is H.R. 2160. This is the bill that would direct the Department of Homeland Security to undertake a study to identify unreasonable or unnecessary impediments to amateur radio communications, such as the effect of private land use regulations on residential antenna installations. The bill is presently assigned to a House committee. It has a number of co-sponsors. A similar bill has already passed the Senate. Without getting into the merits of the legislation, I want to point out that what you're really up against here is two different things. First, one is that many different groups are asking for changes to the Communications Act. This is not the only thing that's up there. Some of these changes that are needed are related to the National Broadband Plan, others to changes in technology. Other changes would reflect things that have happened since the Communications Act was last rewritten in 1996. There's been some indication that the key individuals on Capitol Hill have indicated that Congress may be willing to take an in-depth look at the Communications Act in the next session of Congress or the session after that. Your best shot at getting through legislation that expands the PRB1 decision by preempting the CC&Rs and other private contractual arrangements may be as part of an overall rewrite or an overall review of the Act. As for the current study bill requested, the other factor that you're up against is that there are very few legislative days left in this session of Congress. As you know, there are midterm elections coming up. This summer, Congress people will be dealing with federal budget. There are other things that are clearly in the nature of huge issues, and Congress only has so many days that they can still work.
That concludes our third and final excerpt from the recently completed FCC Forum held at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention in suburban Dayton, Ohio. The forum moderator was FCC employee Bill Cross, W3TN. If you missed the first two excerpts, you'll find them on the archive page at therainreport.com. Before we leave you this week, just a piece of good news for you 220 enthusiasts, especially you who find yourself in the Chicago area on Saturday nights. CFMC, the Chicago FM Club, hold a 220 net Saturday nights at 8 p.m. on their carrier access 224.100 MHz repeater. Do they carry the RAN report, you ask? No, but we're working on that. The RAN report is copyright 1990-2010, RAN. All rights are reserved. Now for RAN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at RAN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com